All right, what's going on, everybody? It is Friday, November the 10th. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. We want to welcome everybody here live via on Rumble, on YouTube, and on Facebook Live. Listen, if you're new to the broadcast, first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And tonight, I want to talk about some end time principles found in these four parables. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, once again, we want to welcome you to End Time Headlines. This is news and headlines from a prophetic perspective where we equip you, we edify you, and we inform you of news, headlines, and principles from a prophetic perspective week after week after week. Again, we want to encourage you, if you've not downloaded our free app, please do that today. It's available on Apple and Android. Again, you could get it depending on where or what device you have. Just go to your Play Store, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH logo right there on your screen that has the four blood moons and the solar eclipse in the middle. Once you get that downloaded, hit yes to push notifications. This is how you can keep up with our ministry and make sure that you keep up with every headline and every podcast when it is readily available. And of course, don't forget to hit that like button, that share button, so this pushes our material out there on all these platforms as well. So guys, I want to share with you tonight. And again, just a quick reminder before we get started, this will be our last podcast for a week. We'll be off all next week. I'll be with family for Thanksgiving. We're doing it a week early or a couple weeks early. We try to work around everybody's schedule and do this. So we'll be taking off all of next week, and then we'll be back the following week with some new content and great material and podcast to be ready to kick off that week when we get back from this little week vacation. So just wanted to get you a reminder. So let you know that tonight will be our last podcast to finish up this week. And I figured since we're going to be gone for a week, I wanted to end the week with an encouraging message and an equipping message. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. I'm going to show you four parables. I'm going to pull out some principles from these parables that I believe that we need for the times that we're in as we're increasingly heading into the end of the age or the end of the church age. There's these principles found in these four parables that I think that we can pull out of and that we can apply to our lives. So Matthew chapter 22 is where we're going to start tonight. So again, if you have your Bible, I'm going to read this, Matthew 22. What we'll do is we're going to read this scripture and then we'll pull some stuff with the help of the Holy Spirit out of this. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables. And he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, quote, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully and even killed them. Verse 7, but when the king heard about it, he was furious. He sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But, verse 11, when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said unto him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then the king said unto the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Heavenly Father, I come to you today, humbly coming to you, asking that you would be your mouthpiece today, that you would use my mouth to speak the oracles of God, that you would anoint my lips to speak forth your word, that it would go forth and it would prosper, bringing forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. I pray that your word would not return void, but it would go forth and it would prosper in that which it's sent forth to do. Lord, I pray that this message would resound with people, that it would inform them, equip them, and it would establish in their hearts. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would bring things out of this word, Lord God, that would pierce their hearts, convict them, and transform their lives. And we'll give you all the glory and honor for it. And it's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So when we read this parable, what I pulled out of this is what I want to share with you. As we get closer to the end of the age, I believe we are going to witness more and more individuals who turn away from the faith. Your Bible talks about this. 1 Timothy chapter 4 talks about this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about this. There's going to be more and more people that will turn from the faith, turn from God, turn from the church or the house of God, and give up on religion altogether. In fact, there has been multiple polls, surveys, all in research done that is showing more and more individuals who are now professing to be of no religious affiliation. We're in an hour when many hear the message of the gospel. They hear the warnings of the watchmen. They hear the warnings of the prophets. And they respond with continual scoffing and laughter. It falls on deaf ears. Others their life is so inundated with the cares of this life. They're so busy that they don't have time to attend any church services. They don't have time to read their Bibles. They don't make time to partake in prayer. They have no time to partake in private and personal devotionals. I believe we will even witness a greater measure of persecution that will rise against these last day messengers of the gospel. Let me say that again. Because of the climate that we're in with this age of apostasy, the falling away, the lukewarmness, the complacency in the body of Christ, when the men of God rise up with a word from the Lord and a message from the Lord, we are going to see persecution arise like never before against these very messengers in this hour. And this is what, go back and read this parable. Again, when you look at this parable in the Gospel of Matthew 22, here we see Jesus, he gives a parable. But we understand all these parables have principles behind it. They have prophetic parallels and pictures here. So in this case, it is an absolute picture of the wedding of heaven that's being prepared for the bridegroom. For the bridegroom and for the bride. We being the bride, Christ being the bridegroom, the wedding is being prepared. The invitation has been given. And guys, the invitation has been given out over 2,000 years ago. The original guest that the invitation was given to rejected it. Your Bible says that the gospel first came to the Jews, but the Jews rejected it. The Jews, among the Jews, came the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law of that day, and they rejected the gospel. They rejected Christ, even so much so that they delegated persecution against the prophets. They slew them. They killed them. Jesus warned about this in the gospels, and he told them that judgment would fall upon that generation because of the righteous blood that they shed. So all this can be found in this Matthew 22 parable. But I like what it says when you go to the verse 5, 6, 7, 8. He emphasizes that the wedding is still ready. It's still being prepared. Do you know that in the book of Revelation, when we get to the tribulation period, when we get to the end of this, the great tribulation in heaven, there is going to be prepared a wedding supper of the Lamb. For all of us who make it to that great supper, that great marriage supper of the Lamb, this will be the ultimate wedding reception, the feast where the Lamb will eat with the bride. Okay? So the wedding invitation is still here. Even though the first round of invites were given and they were rejected, your Bible says in verse 9 of Matthew 22 that the king sent out his servants to, quote, go into the highways and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right here that's going to make some of you nervous, but make some of you excited. This last day invitation is not for a selected group. It's not just for the Jews. It's not just for the Gentiles, but it is for all. Somebody say all. When I say this last day's invitation is open for all, I'm talking about it is open for all to come to the wedding, including transgenders, homosexuals, drunkards, liars, murderers, drug addicts, drug dealers, prostitutes, adulterers and adulteresses. We're talking about invitations for witches, warlocks, devil worshipers, and Satanists, and the list goes on. Now, before you freak out and lose your mind about what Brother Ricky just said here, I said the invitation is for all, but watch this. All are invited to the wedding, but the caveat is this. They are all invited to the wedding. Though all are invited to the wedding, the caveat is this. They, in order for them to partake of the very ceremony, the very marriage, they must have a wedding garment. Oh, come on. Are you hearing me? The Bible says in verse 12 of Matthew 22, this parable says that the king looks and he looks across the wedding hall and he sees a man standing there who had not on a wedding garment. And he said, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. And the king commanded the servants to take the man, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friend, I've come by to tell you today, listen, you can get into a church service. You can get into a conference. You can get into a meeting. You can get into all these things without a wedding garment, but the one place you're not going to get into is heaven. You're not going to get into, your Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. You say, well, what in the world, Brother Ricky, is a wedding garment? The garment that you and I must have and must have on in order for us to gain access to the wedding hall, the reception, and the marriage itself is salvation in Jesus' name. Come on. Salvation through the blood of Jesus, through repentance and putting our faith and trust in Him and Him alone. That is the wedding garment. Friend, listen to me. There will be many that will stand before the Lord, your Bible says, and they will knock on that door, hoping to get into the wedding hall, but he will look at them and say, I know that you may have been invited. Have you ever been to a wedding before? Surely this should relate to everybody. All of us has probably been to a wedding. I'd say 99.9% of everyone here has been invited to a wedding. Listen, just because you show up to the wedding, you are out there in the reception. You're in the wedding hall. You're in the banquet. you're there eating at the table with everybody else, that doesn't mean that you're known by the bridegroom. Are you hearing me today? Just because you showed up to the wedding doesn't mean that you're known by the bridegroom. I've been to many weddings and I didn't even know the bridegroom, but I was invited. Somehow, some way, I got invited to this wedding. So I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of people that claim to be religious. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was invited to the wedding. I got to the wedding through the coattails of my grandparents. I got to the wedding hall through the coattails of my parents. I got there by a friend invite. I got there by a family invite. A coworker invited me. But friends, again, you can get to a conference, get to a church, get to a service, get to a revival meeting. You can get to wherever you want in the natural perspective of a brick and mortar building, a religious service. But the one place that you can't get through the coattails of a family member, a coworker, or a friend. You can't get there through knowing somebody that knows somebody. You can't get there because your name is on the registry of the church. You can't get there because you helped build the church. You can't get there because you are a family member of the pastor of the church. The one place I'm talking about today, church, is heaven itself. Listen, if your name is not on the registry of heaven, which is the Lamb's book of life, then you will be one of those who are standing outside of the door, and he's going to look at you and he's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So the first end time principle that we need to be assured of, because if you don't get this one down, guys, none of these other ones going to matter. We have got to make sure that we have the proper garment before we get to the wedding feast. Because listen, truth, there's coming a marriage supper of the Lamb. Truth, the only individuals that are going to be sitting at that table are those who have on the wedding garment of heaven, who've been clothed in the garments of righteousness. They've been clothed in salvation through the blood of Jesus, where their name has been registered in the Lamb's book of life. So friends, I know this is going to be a little bit different today, but at the end of this podcast, God, I want you, I'm asking the Holy Spirit would deal with you right now, because if your heart's not right with God, if you don't have on the proper garment, then everything else I'm about to share with you today is going to be, it's not going to matter. It won't make no bearing, because this is the most important thing, and that is to make sure that you have on the proper garment to even get to heaven itself, even to get born again. All right, let's go to our next parable. This is Matthew 25, very familiar passage. Let me read it, and then we'll expound on it. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish, and those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and they all slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard," verse 6, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered and said, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him. I said those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. See, we want you to get ready. And that's what we've talked about in the first parable. But then we get to this part. Those who were ready went in with him into the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." We've got a real problem here. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." All right, let's pull out some facts here. Number one, They're all 10 of these are virgins. All 10 of these represent the church. Number two fact, half of them were wise and the other was foolish. Number three, the wise kept oil in their lamps and their fire burning while the other half didn't, or the foolish virgins. Okay, so this tells me, this, friends, is an absolute picture of one of the issues that we're going to have in the last days church. Notice that all the entire church slumbered and slept the longer the bridegroom was delayed. Oh my gosh, guys, you got to get that. That was a heavy revelation right there. Let me say it like this. The longer the Lord delays his coming, the longer that he waits to return, the longer this thing goes on, the more susceptible the church is to going into a state of apathy, lukewarmness, and falling asleep. And according to Matthew 25, your Bible indicates that the entire ecclesia, the entire church, will be in a state of slumber and apathy when the Lord does return. Wow. Number three fact. Let me go back. We're bringing out these facts and we're showing you the picture of the last days church. Half of the, even though the all of the church will go into a state of slumber, we know that half of the church will have, they will still have oil and fire in their lamps. In other words, they will still have a prayer life. They will still have a devotional life. They will still be faithful in the house of God. They will not forsake the assembling of themselves together as the matter of some, even more so as the day approaches. They will still honor the Lord in their finances. They will still honor the Lord in their devotion to him. And they will still be walking in self-denial, taking up their cross and following after him. And he said, well, how can they still be in a state of slumber? Guys, are you kidding me? I think if we were to be honest here and be real, we have all been guilty of this in some form or fashion. Listen, I wish I could tell you today that Brother Ricky is every single day of his life for the past 23 years, I have always been on fire, been red hot, had oil that filled to the brim in my lamp, and my fire was burning in my lamp. But I come by to tell you today that there is times when the oil starts running low, the fire starts fizzling out, and I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like going to the house of God. I don't feel like getting into the devotional time. I don't feel like getting into the Word of God. Come on, can I get somebody that'll be real tonight? But listen, the key is remaining consistent and faithful. I do not want to be one of the foolish virgins that when the fire starts running out, the oil starts running dry. You know what happens when the fire starts running out and the oil starts running dry? You begin to operate out of fumes. You begin to operate out of the ashes of past moves of God, past experiences of God, past encounters, past revivals. Are you hearing me? You begin to have a life filled with smoke, but there's no fire. You're going through the motions. You're attending church on Sunday, but you have no desire, no passion, no zeal. You don't want to really be there. There's no urgency, no passion, no fire. You're no longer excited about the things of God, the house of God, the Word of God. Come on. Let me give you this little principle here. The types of lamps that are mentioned here in Matthew 25, they had to have consistent care. It was crucial that that these bridegrooms in that day, in that culture, in order to keep these lamps burning, there was a process which involved called trimming the wick. The wick had to be trimmed so that the flame would be clean and bright. A poorly trimmed wick would create a flame which was dim and smoky. Therefore, it was essential to keep the lamps full of oil. It is essential that we keep ourselves full of the Holy Spirit. Friends, listen, Acts chapter 2, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the upper room was not a one-time ordeal. Your Bible says in Ephesians 5, 17 through 18, the Apostle Paul says, be not drunk with wine in which is in excess or in dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you break that down in the original Greek, it means to be persistently filled with the Holy Ghost. So this is why, guys, this is why we got to have these refreshing services. This is why it's essential that we get in to the best of our ability and somewhere where we can position ourselves, where we can be filled up, where we can partake of the Holy Spirit and the move of God, whether that's in person, whether that's online, whether that's in your private devotional, whether that's in your prayer closet. Again, the key is to consistently get that oil in the lamp, keeping that wick trimmed. Remember, I told you, you have to keep that wick trimmed. And the way you do that is daily. It's daily. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, I die daily. I daily renew my mind through the transformation of the reading of the Word of God every single day. Well, brother, I don't feel like it. Do it anyway. I don't feel like praying. Do it anyway. Guys, again, I have, even in my own life, in my own walk with God, I will go through cycles and seasons where I have these times where in which, again, I have to press in, press forward, press through until I get the breakthrough. Because if I listen to my flesh, are you hearing me? If I listened to my flesh and did what my flesh wants to say, I would not pick up my Bible. I would not go to prayer meetings. I would not attend church services. Listen, we attended a revival service that was an hour away from us. And the older I get, I don't want to deal with traffic. I don't want to deal with people. I don't want to go on road trips. But I knew that it's God requires sacrifice. Anything, I can go back and look at my life. Come on, I'm talking to somebody that will bear witness with me today. Every great encounter I've ever had with God, every life-changing encounter I've had with God, it was never easy. It was never a cakewalk. In fact, it was the opposite. Here's what I've discovered in 23 years of serving the Lord. If there is much adversity for an encounter that I'm about to have, if there's much adversity for a conference, for a meeting, a revival service, a church service, a prayer meeting, whatever the case may be, a Bible study, if that day there is much adversity, much opposition, my flesh don't feel like it, I don't feel good, I didn't feel like getting out of bed, I didn't feel like praying that day, I just felt like crawling back into bed, I felt like just watching TV all day, I didn't feel like it. I have realized that probably is an indicator that if I will press through, reject my flesh, rebuke my flesh, bring my flesh into subjection to the Spirit of God, walk in the Spirit and not according to the flesh, when I actually get to the meeting, that is when God shows up, meets me, and I have a great encounter. Can I get a witness from anybody out there that can bear witness with that? This just happened recently. There was a revival meeting that went on 10 days in Gainesville at Jensen Franklin's church at his Free Chapel Gainesville campus. Our family got in the car, drove an hour out there. Everybody was tired. We were all kind of cranky. We didn't really even eat dinner because we had to get out there. But guys, when we showed up, the presence of God was so strong. It was a powerful move of God. My 15-year-old son got impacted by the Lord that night, and it would never have happened if we would have said, yeah, I don't really want to do that because of the traffic, or I'm going to miss dinner. God forbid we actually miss a meal, right? Come on, I'm trying to help you out here. So what am I talking about? Keeping your lamp full of oil, keeping your wick trimmed, keeping that fire burning. In fact, look what it says right here. And this is Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for the master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Think about that, guys. The master shows up for the wedding, shows up at your door, knocks on your door to see if you're ready for the wedding. Are you going to be one that immediately, because of your, come on, because of your walk with God, your heart's ready with him. You've been living a disciplined life. You have sacrificed things. You've abstained from things. You've been living righteously before the Lord to your best of your ability, serving the Lord, that when he knocks on the door, that you would jump up immediately, be excited to open the door. Or are you going to be one who doesn't really want the Lord to knock on your door? Because you know in your heart, you're not ready. You're not prepared. Perhaps you're listening. You don't even have on that garment. You don't have on your wedding garment. Or maybe you have on that wedding garment, but your wedding garment is stained. It's tainted. Oh, we're going to deal with that in just a minute. Look what it says, verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Guys, I want to give you four examples from one man in the Bible, and his name is Peter. I want to give you four examples or four indicators that your oil is running low and your fire is burning out. Ready? We're going to go through these real quick. And guys, I'm not going to give you all these, everything I'm going to tell you about this, Peter, it's in your Bible. We did a whole podcast on this alone. I think we went an hour on this. So we're kind of giving you the cliff notes of this. So again, listen to me carefully, and I want to give you four examples of a man in your Bible, the Apostle Peter, and show you what happens when the oil starts running low and the fire starts burning out. Ready? Here we go. Number one, your Bible says that Peter began to follow Jesus from the outside and not the inside. From a distance, he followed Christ. He no longer desired to be inside the building, but outside. One of the immediate signs of our relationship with the Lord beginning to dwindle and the fire going out is that we no longer have a desire to go to. Again, you don't have that desire like you did, that zeal, that passion, that fire, and all of these areas of serving the Lord. Number two, Peter began to revert back to his unregenerated self. Let me say that again. Peter began to live in the flesh and revert back to the life he used to live prior to Christ. He began lying. The Bible says he was lying, he was cussing, and he began to associate with non-believers. Remember, he lied saying he didn't know Jesus. Number two, the Bible says he swore when he said, I don't know the man, or he cursed. Number three, he began to associate with unbelievers. He was sitting among unbelievers when they were calling him out saying, aren't you one of his disciples? No, I don't know the man. Listen, another huge indicator that the fire's going out and that the oil's running dry is that, listen, when this happens, we'll begin to revert back to our old carnal nature, begin to do things that we used to do before we were even converted to Christ. We begin to desire old habits, bondages, addictions again. We begin to swear again. We begin to lust again. We begin to drink alcohol again. We begin to partake of substances again. We also begin to desire to hang around non-believers more than others that are Holy Ghost filled. We begin because they agitate us because they're living a holy life and we're not. Are you hearing me? This is why, again, why do you think the Lord said, blessed are those who, when the master of the house comes and knocks on the door, that they immediately answer? Well, friend, again, if your fire is running low and your oil is running low, you are not going to jump out of that bed or jump out of that couch or jump on whatever you're at and run and open that door to meet your master. All right, so number three, Peter was satisfied with warming himself by the fire, but he no longer desired to be set on fire. Oh, come on, that's good right there. He was satisfied with warming himself by the fire, but he had no desire to be set on fire. What are you saying, Brother Ricky? I'm saying the more the flame goes out and the oil runs dry, we will be satisfied with lukewarm living, and we will want to associate with lukewarm people. We will find ourselves looking at our watches and looking at the time when we used to never once be concerned with the time in the house of God. We will find ourselves looking to associate with things that are very carnal. We will look for every excuse to stay out of church and not be in church. We will find ourselves hearing a message, but never allowing it to change us, transform us, or convict us. Peter was warming himself by the fire. He wanted to be just close enough to God's presence that he could get the goosebumps. He could get, he could get the little warm and fuzzy feeling. He wanted Jesus as an accessory, but he didn't want him to have complete control of his life. Why? Because let me tell you this. This leads me to number four. Peter began to deny his relationship with Christ out of fear of reputation, opinions, and persecutions. I could drop the mic right there. Let me say that again. You show me somebody that is lukewarm with the oil running dry and the fire running out, they will be greatly concerned with their reputation, the opinions of others, and persecution from others as well. But on the other hand, you show me a man or a woman of God who is sold out, fire burning, the oil filled to capacity and running over, and I'll show you an individual who could care less about their reputation. They're not worried about the opinions of others, and they are blessed when they are persecuted. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Listen, when you were on fire for God and the oil was running over and the fire was burning hot, you would go out there and testify of his goodness and his mercy, and you didn't know how to shut up. You wanted to witness to every person around you, your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors, your family. You were everywhere. You pulled up a soapbox. You pulled up a pulpit. It didn't matter if it was at a church house, it was at a warehouse. It was, behind a dumpster and an alley somewhere. You'd be willing to preach to the cattle out in the field, the birds in the air, or the next door neighbor's dog. Why? Because you were like Jeremiah that had a fire that it was shut up in your bones. But once the flame began to go out, you begin to find yourself becoming silent. You begin to lose your boldness. You begin to be concerned about, again, all of these things that you never once was concerned about. Come on, are y'all getting anything out of this today? Let me go to the third one here. In fact, we'll go three and four, because three and four kind of go hand in hand. We said there was four parables, and there is, but the third and fourth one are literally the brother and sister. They're hinged on one another. So let's go here. We'll go to Luke chapter 19, Luke chapter 19, verse 11. Again, this is Luke 19, 11. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered unto them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him, and he sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And then he went to the first one, saying, then came the first servant, saying, quote, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to them, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in what is little, I will give you authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. And he said, likewise, you will be over 5 cities. And then another came, saying, master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you, because you're an austere man. You collected what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said unto him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. Wow. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you put my money, notice he said my money, in the bank, that at my coming I may, let me read this again, verse 23. Why then did you not put my money in the bank that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, so he was using this as an example, take the mina from him, who? The one who did not invest, and give it to him who has 10 minas. Verse 25, but they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. Verse 26, for I say unto you, that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. So guys, this entire parable is an illustration of how we are to invest into the work of the kingdom of God. First of all, when you go to this, again, this parable, the beginning of this in Luke 19, right off the bat, it says here in Luke 19, verse 11, because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. They thought the Lord was going to come right then, right there. They didn't think he was going to take this long. But and this is why Jesus again began to give them a parable. And he said a certain nobleman went into a far country and he was gone a long time. If when we guys, if we would simply read these parables, we would already know by just simply reading these parables that the Lord was not going to immediately come back, that it was going to be a long time. So it amazes me how we see believers that are saying, well, I don't understand why it's taking so long. Why is it taking thousands of years for the Lord to return? Again, when you read these parables, we understand that the Lord will delay. The Bible says this in Matthew 25, when the bridegroom will delay. It says right here in this parable, he'll be gone on a long journey. He'll be gone a long time. We, if we would have really read the scriptures, we would already know this. And that's why we're telling you this. How do we prepare for the wait? How do we prepare in the process? How do we prepare for the coming of the Lord? So in this parable, so notice here, he goes right into investing your resources, your money, your talent. What are you doing with the gifts that God has entrusted you with? What are you doing with the resources that you have? Did you know that Deuteronomy 8:18 says, for it's the Lord who gives us the power to make wealth? God gave you that job. God gave you those talents. God gave you that position. Why? So you could honor him with your increase. This is why, guys, it's not that difficult. I don't understand why people make this so difficult. And I love the anti-tithers and the anti-givers and those who are anti-offering. They're anti-money, any form or fashion. It's absolutely sad. I love how they're always attacking people who are faithful in their tithes, faithful in giving. It's absolutely amazing to me how they do this, because they're absolutely exposing their own hearts. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is where your heart will be also. So you have these people out here, guys, they are very well off, but they won't sow a penny into the kingdom of God. Now, look, I know some of y'all is getting nervous and saying, oh, here's a sales pitch. He's trying to give us, you know, listen, everything we do is free. We're not selling you any product. Our messages are free. We don't sell you t-shirts, coffee mugs, novelties, subscriptions. We don't sell any of this stuff. None of it. We don't sell e-courses. Our app is free. So listen, you can't accuse us of trying to swindle people for money. That's why we tell people, if you're blessed by our ministry, you're encouraged by our ministry, you pray about that and God will speak to you. You do accordingly. But listen, it don't matter to me where I don't, if you don't sow a dime into this ministry, that's fine. What do you got to do? What you got to do? But to not invest into the kingdom at all, that is very foolish in my opinion. All right, here's your fourth parable that I said coincides with number three, dovetails right off of it. Verse 5, this is Luke 12:15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Verse 16, And then he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself. So he said, I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, who talks like this? Really? Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Quote, but God said to him, now I didn't say this, God did. Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Translation is this. You've worked hard all your life. You have a good job, good paying job, make good money. You live in a nice neighborhood. All your needs are met. All your bills are paid. But yet you're sitting on all the blessings that God has dispensed to you, that God has blessed you with, and you will not invest in the kingdom of God. And listen, we know people personally that's like this. And when they die, and they will, it's inevitable, it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. When they die, you know what's going to happen to them? Their kids are going to fight for all that stuff that they've got, all that money that they've got that they've been sitting on, instead of them investing it into the work of the kingdom. Listen, that's why our ministry for 13 years that we've launched this ministry, every penny that we get into this ministry, we honor the Lord with the first fruits of our increase. We honor the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. We help the widows. We help the poor. We help the needy. We help the orphans. We help the houses of God. We sow into different ministries that we know are legit and that are preaching the gospel. And because of that, God has reciprocated back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Listen, stop fighting the tithe. Stop fighting offerings. Well, I don't believe, listen, I don't have time to go 45 minutes an hour into why you should tithe. I don't need, listen, people say, well, it's not in the New Testament. Actually, it is. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus was speaking to these Pharisees, and he said, you pay tithe of mint, you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, which is justice, mercy, and faith. He said, these you ought to have done. Notice he said, you should have done these things. He commended them for their tithing, but he said, without leaving the others undone. He didn't, listen, if tithing was not in the New Testament, why did he say these things you ought to have done? He commended him for that. Then I could take you to another passage of the scripture where there's two men going into the temple and one is beating on his chest and bragging about tithing. God didn't rebuke him because he was doing something that was no longer a New Testament practice. He rebuked him because he was prideful about it. Then you go to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8. The apostle Paul talks about, here mortal men tithe. That was present tense. After the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So don't tell me the New Testament church did not practice tithing, because tithing was not instituted by the law. Tithing was introduced before the law was ever established through Abraham tithing to Melchizedek. Again, I don't want to get into a 30-minute message on tithing. What I'm trying to tell you, friends, that in the last days, I want to be a good steward of the talents, the gifts, the calling, and the resources that God has instilled to me and has entrusted into me. Why? Because number one, I want God to look down on me and say, well done, good and faithful servant, for you have honored me with what I've given you. Number two, I want the blessing of God on my life. I want the windows of heaven to be open over my life. And how do I do that? I keep those windows open by honoring the Lord through my tithes and offerings. Number three, he says in Malachi that God himself will rebuke the devourer off of me. And guys, I can sit here and testify in 23 years that my wife and I has been serving the Lord. Our family has been blessed. We've been well taken care of. God has honored us. God has remembered us because we have remembered him. We've honored him and we have been faithful over what he's entrusted us with. So let's recap this real quick, guys, and we're going to close this podcast and close out this week of podcasting. Out of these four parables, how to prepare for the end times from these four parables. Number one, we've got to be assured that we have on the wedding garment because the wedding supper, the wedding ceremony is in the future. And I want to make sure today that you're ready for that great supper of the Lamb. Number two, I hope that you are willing to do a self-evaluation and examine yourselves to see the Bible. You know, the Bible says, examine yourselves to see whether or not you're in the faith. Is your oil running dry? Is your fire burning out? And number three is, are you investing in the kingdom? Are you investing in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, occupy till I come. We don't listen. I am a pre-tribulation rapture believer, but I get so aggravated at these people who believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, and they just don't want to prepare for anything. They don't want to, they're not prepared for anything in the future because of their perception and their belief that all these things don't matter because the Lord's coming back. Therefore, I don't need to invest. I don't need to prepare. I don't need to do accordingly. Guys, again, that's ridiculous. It's absurd, and it's reckless. He says, occupy till I come. So we've got to continue. Prepare. Listen, the best thing you can do is prepare as though the Lord is going to be a long time coming, but live as though he's coming back today. Let me say that again. Prepare as if he is going to be a long time out before he returns. Prepare as if he's not coming back for a long time. What is that? What do you mean? Prepare. Keep plowing, keep sowing, keep investing, keep loving, keep serving God, preaching the gospel, keep doing all this. But live your life as though he's going to return this very day. What do I mean by that? Live holy, live righteous, live in self-denial, deny yourself, take up your cross. Come on, live a lifestyle of repentance. That's what I'm talking about today. So I hope this makes sense to you guys. Let's pray right now. Come on, we're going to close this podcast right now through prayer. Heavenly Father, I have delivered this message to the best of my ability through the way in which the Holy Ghost has orchestrated this. Father, I am asking right now that the Holy Spirit of God would go forth from this podcast and begin to, Lord God, to examine and convict the lives on the other side of this microphone, the other side of this camera. If there be anyone listening or watching or both that is not ready, their names are not enlisted on the registry of heaven. They don't have the garment. They don't have the right garment on. That maybe they've been clothed in a denominational garment. They've been clothed in religious garments, that self-righteous garments, but they don't have on the garment of salvation through faith in Christ, through the blood of Jesus. Lord, we give them that invitation today. That invitation is to repent of their sins, put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And we ask today, if there be anybody watching or listening today, that Lord, that they would make their hearts right now, and that they would make themselves ready for the wedding supper that is coming in the future, in Jesus' name. Lord, if there be anybody watching today, and Lord, they've got on that wedding garment, they've got it ready, but their garments are stained. Come on, the bride gown is stained. It's stained with habits. It's stained with addictions. It's stained with cycles of defeat. It's stained because they've allowed the oil to run dry. They've allowed the fire to go out. They've found themselves like Peter. They're warming themselves at the fire. They're not very close to God anymore. They're not in their prayer life, not in their devotional. And because of this, because of these things, they have found themselves partaking of things and doing things they shouldn't. Well, the call of repentance is coming forth today. The Bible says that if any man sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Guys, the bad news is you may have some stains on that garment, but come on, but we serve a God who is able to forgive, renew, redeem, and restore in Jesus' name. If you'll just yield yield to it and let him wash you clean today. And last but not least, you may be watching, you may be listening, and you say, well, Brother Ricky, I'm one of those individuals. God has blessed me. He's taken care of me. But I've always found an excuse not to invest in the kingdom, not to be a blessing to God's kingdom, to the work of God. But God has convicted me today, and I want to start honoring the Lord. Whatever that looks like to you, come on, just step out in faith, be obedient to God. And I promise you, based on not my opinion, but the word of God, that God, he said in Matthew 6:33, if you'll seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. I can tell you by the authority of the word of God that God says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you have not room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your name's sake. Come on, do you receive that today? Just step out, guys, step out in faith and do things that your flesh has kept you from being blessed from in the past. And I promise you, God will meet you in Jesus' name. Come on, do you receive this word today? Listen, guys, we love you guys. Again, download our free app available on Apple and Android devices. Hit yes to push notification so that you don't lose you don't lose contact with this, number one. Number two, that you don't miss any headline or podcast when it is available. And always, guys, be sure to follow us on all these social media. We're on YouTube, Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Rumble. You can see us right here. This is our Rumble channel. Go look for us. Go there. This is another alternate video streaming platform. It's very popular. Go and subscribe to us there. We're on Telegram. Guys, there is things that we will share on our Telegram channel that we will not share on any other social media outlet anywhere. So you need to go. If you can go, find us on Telegram. Look for our End Time Headlines. Look for our logo. There's a lot of counterfeits out there. If you look at the content we're posting, you'll know it's us. You'll see it. Come on, use some discernment. You'll know this, Brother Ricky. You'll know it's End Time Headlines. You'll know it's our ministry. I think it's almost 11,000 followers there on Telegram. So go join us there on Telegram as well. And as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity. If this ministry has been a source of blessing in your life, whatever your relationship looks like, some of you, this is your home church. We ask you to be faithful to the Lord, to the work of his kingdom. Ask the Lord what he would have you to do. We want to give you the opportunity to partner with us. And you could do that two different ways, electronically or by check or money order. If you wish to give by electronically, you can do it through the app. That's the easiest way. Or you can go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Or if you wish to give by check or money order, you can make that out to End Time Headlines right there on the screen at P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia, 30655. And of course, guys, again, be sure to hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification, subscribe, and you're going to be good to go. Guys, we're going to sign off for this this week of podcasting. Again, we will be off all next week, but be looking, if you guys on our social media platforms and here on YouTube and everywhere else, we will share some of our older messages that I feel are relevant, you know, that'll be encouraging to you, equipping messages. So be looking for those. And then we'll be back a week. We'll be back not this coming Monday, but the following one. We'll be right back here in the studio with some more great content. So until then, again, I appreciate your prayers for safe travels and blessing. And we'll be right back here in about 2 weeks. So may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.